we have time before we move into the last phase of our day, which is trying to sum up, trying to draw some conclusion and commonalities between the different themes and the subject that are wide and big. And we have time for a few questions to the last presenters, and whose theme was to know whether we can change things, or whether the next 50 years, if we are to convene here in 50 years, we will most likely say things never change or need not change. So any questions?
We're all smoking lucky.
Please, please.
You know, when many of the presentations were occurring, I was thinking of people who I think have been influential, but we haven't brought it to the room. In the world of architecture, I think of Christopher Alexander. And in the world of cities, I was thinking of Jaime Lerner, hopefully Deva. Was that just a momentary flash in the pan, or has he had an influence, a larger influence, beyond the work in that city?
Now, I would say Jaime Lerner was the conceiver of the whole Curitiba model, which is considered the most greener and most sustainable city in Brazil. He is a model, an example for Brazilians in many places, in many countries of the world. I would say that the solutions that he brought and the integration of those solutions that he brought to Curitiba are one of the best case studies of sustainable and healthy
cities. Are they being replicated in other places?
Probably you can tell better that against the replication.
I was thinking the same thing with the presentation we saw on Schroeder, what was a bus rapid. So the fact that bus rapid transit was elevated, I think that may have been the model. That may have been the actual model that seems to be driving that thinking. So maybe in that way. What was your thought on this process?
Well, that was part of the building itself.
It was books that the book that was very influential. I'm still amazed that I see it referred to in papers and work of students. Vikram and then Spencer.
You mentioned education. You also raised questions of teaching something. We also have to think about younger people, children. I think they really are critical. This children can move things, and future generations is also a victim of some of these systems that we have created. We have tried our best to involve children in all the gardening activities. And gardening, which I run on campus every year, one day a week when volunteers come, I reserve for parents with children to come involved in gardening. And they are perhaps the best motivators to move the entire family. So I would really think this is one.
So you say that work on the young ones, forget about the old ones.
No, work on the family as a whole, and emphasize children in that. They should become kind of a very important.
It is a family. Okay.
This question is more for Daniel. I teach health promotion, participatory action research, and so I agree with the principle of participation. But we know that social marginalization doesn't just affect health, right? It also affects the structures and the willingness of individuals and communities to participate. I mean, if they're socially alienated or other ways that ostracized from the institutions and mechanisms of society. And I'm just wondering about your own kind of philosophy and practice when it comes to trying to engage communities when they're marginalized to such an extent that participation is not going to be in place, and whether that means that you feel like resources should be put into other locations, or how do you address that?
Can you empower the poor, the very poor?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I thank you for the question, because it's a notion that it's not it happening enough in the presentation. It's maybe the soul of what we do. And what we try to do in our approach is to help people understand that they have the power to change by starting on a very, very small basis. We have a methodology called shared construction of solutions, which we help them analyze. We put together a group of leaders willing to participate in the community. And we've done this with the poorest and the most marginalized communities in Brazil. Very, very catastrophic communities. And we help them understand that they can change their reality, even if it's two houses, five children, 10 families, they can do something with their own, with the resources they have available in their community. And from this capacity of being this notion that they can change reality, they have a better notion of what is citizenship. As citizens, as players, as active players in society, they can change reality even if it's just a little bit. They understand that they have rights. And if they have rights, they will want to associate with others in order to go get these rights. So you go from an individual level of empowerment all the way into a community or more political level of empowerment. It takes a long time, but you have to start helping people to, and this we do through participatory methodologies, to understand that people can, even if they are in a very extreme state of poverty, they can change reality with what they own. And then, a little bit empowered, they will get more resources in order to build more change. But it's a very, very difficult task, and we face this every day. For example, the question I was asking in agriculture, you see communities which are completely deprived. 80% of people are unemployed, vacant lots all over. And you try to implement an agricultural program, you just don't find people interested enough. They're very passive. It's a everyday fight.
First, Rod here, and then Lan. And then we will move on to the discussion.
Don't have a statement. Well, fine, if really just a bit of a joke, but it's a revelation. If we do believe in professors who can't have power, who are not doing much of the work, professions, whether they're medical, architectural, or any other profession, have to realize that they are all issues of society if they are not a fool. What else do they do? They make a motion bridge or something like that. I believe professions are meant to service the needs of the public, as are not to make sure that the poor feel the only way they can show their power is to be principled. Or to be open. The right. So we have a social responsibility professions to make sure that we offer our services on the ground to the very people that can have the
I had a question about in Brazil in the last 10 years I've seen significant changes in the economic climate. And when I was there last year, it was clear, and I've heard and read, there's been a lot of new wealth being created there. How is some of that, or how is that? That helping with what you're, I really enjoyed your talk, and it was just really informative in a way. What is happening with that money to try to channel it to the people who need it the most?
Well, when Lula took power 8 years ago, we believed that many things would change. We believed that the economy would change, the shift of absolute privilege of the financial, not the productive system, the financial system, the more productive economy. We believe that social policies will increase in quality, and we believe especially that politics will be cleaner, be corruption, there will be more democracy, more participation. And none of these are true. Brazil has had a lot of progress. It's very overrated by the media because people are putting money in Brazil the last few years. The economy is strong. The economy is strong because it was an orthodox economic policies. So the financial sector is very strong, the industry is pretty strong, but the political structures are the same. What got a little bit better is that we have started more solid income transfer programs. So the Brazilian government is paying allowances to the poor for the family stipend program. It's very, very little money, 60 heads, about $40 every month the families get, and there's a counterpart, which is keeping children at school and having their vaccination cards updated and so on. This very little income transfer is very significant. We're talking about millions of families. This changing consuming profile, it's changing the lives of many people, but it's very criticized because it stops there. There's no development policy. So I wouldn't say that the foundation of Brazilian society has improved. Some symptoms have improved, and there's a more solid economy. The way that social policies, and especially politics, are done in Brazil, I think they got worse.
The well did not trickle down.
Yeah. Okay. I think that the floor is yours, Fabi.